God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are right over there. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and somebody will chat with anybody in their first 30 days.
Jason.
Welcome. Anybody else? All right. At this time, please silence your cell phones. We respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that the book Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism based on simple action. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA simple actions. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we will be discussing steps 8 and 9, part 1. And let's welcome our panel. We got Lynn and Mike. All right. So I will read the first paragraph. It's going to be on page 76. And then each of the panel will share for a few minutes on each of the readings. All right. On page 76 for anybody following along. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we had harmed and whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning. We would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Lynn.
Hey. Hey, everybody. I'm Lynn, and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, Lynn.
And grateful to be here and grateful to be sober today. Just a little qualification here. I at the end of my drinking, I ended up living on Hilton Head Island, being a cart chick with my college degree. You know what a cart chick is? Does anybody know? Cart chick. You drive around on the golf course and you sell beverages, alcoholic beverages and sandwiches and things like that to the guys who are playing golf. And that's what I did. That's what I did with my college degree. And I was living by myself with my two cats. And I had these two little butt spots on my couch where I would sit on Saturday nights and I'd play the Pat Benatar Hell is for Children and write letters to Oprah Winfrey. That's where my drinking took me. And what I would do is pour me another drink. I just drank 24/7. And what happened is I got sober as a direct result of picking up the phone and calling Alcoholics. And thank God that the other person who answered the phone could hear the sound of desperation in my voice. And I said, I'm really desperate. I need a meeting. And they told me about a meeting that was going to happen. Could have been 3 or 4 hours. It could have been an hour and a half. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was too long for me to wait. And for some reason or other, that's the beginning of my spiritual experience. Cause I told them, honestly, I said, you know, I can't wait that long. What do I do in between? And so they came over to my house. I got sober as a result of this 12-step call. And they brought me Big Book, and they brought me a pamphlet that had 14 questions in it. And I answered all the questions correctly, except for one. I had not had a grand mal seizure yet. So there you go. So I was holding on to the fact, maybe I'm not an alcoholic. I haven't had a grand mal seizure. So that was it. And that was the beginning of my journey into Alcoholics Anonymous. So I definitely qualify to be here. And, you know, I know that when I got here, it's like you get here and you have that gift of desperation. And then you start working the steps and looking at like things like amends and taking inventory. And then my desperation started to fade a little bit, you know? So when it tells us that we're willing to go to any lengths, I just need to remember where I was at the end of my drinking. And the girl that picked up the phone, if you don't believe in God shots, I believe in God coincidences. The girl picked up the phone, had lived across the street from me for several years. I'd never met her. And I could look out my kitchen window and see her front door. She became my first sponsor. She sponsored me for my first year. And so she would, I go, tell me the story again about how bad it was when I got here. And then she would tell me what I looked like and everything. And I'd go, oh yeah, that's right. I belong here. So being willing to go to any lengths was something that really, really popped out of me in the part that he just read. And then faith without works is dead. I strongly, strongly believe that if you put one foot in front of the other, and no matter how much fear you're consumed with, you're actually one foot in front of the other. You walk through the fear, and you're actually exercising faith. And so for me, that's what I was doing when I was doing these steps, because I really honestly did not believe that these steps were going to bring about an entire psychic change for me. And here I am. My sobriety date is May 30th, 1995. So I'm sitting here 27 years later. I'm still sober and have absolutely no desire to drink. So I know that these steps work. And to be honest with you, if I would have figured out exactly how these all played out, like if the things that you took on your inventory, you're going to have to make amends for, I probably would have made my inventory shorter. So anyway, I don't want to take up any more of Mike's time. So I'm going to go ahead and pass to
Mike. Everybody, I'm Mike. I'm an alcoholic.
Mike.
My sobriety date is January 7th, 2008. My home group is 49th Street. Living Sober. We're very creative with the name. It's on 49th Street. If you want to come by, it's on the campus, fair to you. I have a sponsor and I work with guys. I will say this. I have missed this meeting tremendously. I will tell you, I will tell on myself. People on Zoom can see and people out here can see. Amy is very, very efficient at letting you know very far ahead of time when she would like you to come. And I wish she wouldn't, because I get very nervous and I print out the stuff and I write all over it of everything I'm going to say. And then I look and I'm not going to say any of this, but she's really good at letting you know when it's your turn. And then like, here it is. But at the beginning of this, it says, now we need more action. First part of that. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. I just did step 5. I sat with this guy for hours and hours and we went over this. Then I did what it says in the Big Book and what my sponsor told me. And I went home, I put the book on the shelf for an hour, and I was entirely ready to have God remove all my defects of character, which is a very hard thing to wrap your head around. Then I humbly asked him to remove those shortcomings. I'm tired. But, and it says, faith without works is dead. I've got to do some more work. You got to be kidding me. Can't we just be, I'm a really good alcoholic. Can't we just be done? These people know that I'm sorry. They know. They do know. You know, they've seen it. I don't know yet. And it's weird. When I first had to start doing this, I did ask God to remove all my shortcomings and humbly ask. That's a big leap of faith. And now I've got to take it to might not dig me. So do I really give up everything? Can I keep a little bit? Can I keep fear just a little bit? Can some jealousy? Can I keep anything? I can't. This is going to work. I've got to do it all. And I've got to go to these. And I will say this. I work with guys and I do what I've had two sponsors in my 14, and both guys, we've read the big book word for word, and that's what I do with my guys. And we circle this word because my sponsor told me to do this all the time. Willing. I circle willing every time I see it in the book. And I tell these guys that because I get scared. I think I've got to do it perfect. And I don't have. And there's new guys in here tonight. Take that for what it is. You don't have to do this perfect. Just be willing. Just say, I'm going to try this. I'm going to be willing. I'm going to pray and I'm going to do this because I will tell the truth on myself. Also, it says we have the will to do this. We ask until it comes. All right. I just told you how long I've been sober. I've done steps 8 and 9, 2 or 3 times. There are 4 human beings on my list that I have never made amends to. And they are my dearest, deepest friends from before I started. I see them all the time. I see them rarely. I hang out with them this week. And I will tell you, one of them called me and he butt dialed me. And this was, and I said, okay, that's my God sign. I'm going to do it. I'm calling him back. I didn't know he butt dialed me, but we hadn't talked in a minute. So I called him back. I said, I'm going to do this. I'm just going to suck it up and make this amend. Now's the time. I'm willing. I'm doing it. So we got on the phone. We do what we always do. We talk sports. We talk baseball. We talk football for a minute. Then I go, hey, man, do you just got a couple extra minutes? I've got something to talk to you about. Yeah, man, I've heard, you know, about your son. You've been having a little trouble. I've been having trouble with mine. We talked 15 or 20 minutes about our sons. It was right there. Again, I didn't do it. Again. I don't know if I'm ever going to do it. But you know what? I have a sponsor who knew me at a point where I had done them all. I'd done my parents. I'd done my ex-wife. I'd done everything. And these 4 guys were sitting there. And I thought I could, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to be done at 9. And I'm not going to do 10, 11. I can't go on. I haven't finished. And he sat there and said, look, we've circled this willing. And you're not giving everything you have and your best in Alcoholics Anonymous. You need to move. Go to 10, 11, and 12. You can come back to this. It doesn't have to be perfect. I pray all the time about these guys. Am I going to do it? Am I finally going to do it? Nope, I'm not going to do it. Not yet. I'm not willing yet, but I pray for willingness. But I do 10, 11, and 12 because my job now is to carry this message to other alcoholics. I'm at step 12 with a little piece of step 8 and 9 missing. And it's coming. It'll be there. I just got to be willing. And it says it over and over. Ask until it comes. And I will continue to ask. Hopefully it'll come. Thanks.
Thank you both. The next reading is also on page 76. Probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bored? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He's going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than our talk of spiritual discovery.
Okay. Well, my most favorite part that he just read is the part about where it gives us a purpose that we are to be of maximum service, and to be less selfish and self-centered is the biggest thing. maximum service to God and to the people about us. And there was, I did my step four, you know, I was about 3 months sober. I did my step five through eight when with my sponsor when I was about 4 months sober. So then, you know, still have, you know, I was still pretty discombobulated. It didn't have a lot of clarity. And, you know, I owed this employer that I worked for, I owed him some really big amends. You know, he cut me so many breaks. Like the very last time that he fired me, as I was walking out the door, you know, I asked his assistant manager, the assistant manager, as I said, how long do I have to wait before he hires me back? You know, I mean, it was just like, you know, I just knew that he was just going to keep hiring me back and keep giving me all these breaks. And I just, you know, I just couldn't, I was doing the best I could, but it was just really hard to, you know, drink all night and then go drive around on the golf course all day in a golf cart. That was a pretty tough life. And so I just went, I was a really good performer, but, I would show up and, you know, I'd be all sloppy and I'd smell like alcohol and people would complain about me. And, but I pulled the numbers. I was like the top performer on the East Coast. For his company. And so he always just caved in. He kept hiring me back and giving me all these breaks. Well, he tried to 12-step me into this program. He sat me down. He gave me this, you know, lecture about, you know, that he'd grown up in an alcoholic home. His dad was an alcoholic and that he quit drinking. And he was just, and I just walked out. I walked out of that 12 step, that attempt at his 12 step call. I walked out of that thinking, oh, that poor guy, I feel so bad for him. You know, it, like none of it registered. Okay. So here I am. I've done my 4-step. Five through eight, I have the list and I pick and I find out that he's leaving the island and that he's going to be transferring up to, you know, Myrtle Beach. And that it's really important that I get this amends made to him. So I call up my sponsor and she answers the phone and I tell her what my plan is. And she said, no, we're not there yet. And I hang up the phone and this is pre-cell phones. So I hang up the phone and then I promptly get my car and drive over there to make amends. And so, you know, just like a good alcoholic, I just completely ignored what my sponsor told me to do. And the thing is that, you know, I'm at the beginning of my spiritual experience and I'm starting to notice that God does have. And what happens is that he saw me come in the door. And he and I could see him getting all excited in his office and waving his hand. They made me sit out there for like an hour and a half. For a whole hour and a half, I could have backed out of doing this inappropriate amends that my sponsor had told me not to do. And for the whole hour and a half, I just kept going. I go, well, you know, I would just want to fit myself to be a maximum service to God and to others. And the truth be told, and I can tell the truth today, but at that time I couldn't see it, is I had heard all these people talk, sharing in Alcoholics Anonymous about these beautiful amends that they had had and that they were forgiven. And all I wanted is to be forgiven. So I did not go into it with pure motives. That's why my sponsor told me not to do it. But I went ahead and did it anyway. And it went really badly. Very, very badly. And, you know, he, you know, like when I walked out of there, I wanted to drink. And then I called my sponsor up crying. And I said, and she goes, well, you know, I kind of knew you were going to do it anyway, but that's okay. And she goes, don't drink, go to a meeting and we'll talk about it later. And then, you know, so I'm just sharing now because we always hear about all these beautiful amends that go well. And I'm so glad that Mike shared one that, you know, that he's still working on. And, you know, because not all these amends, be prepared. They don't all go great. You know? Anyway, thanks for letting me share on that.
All right. When this paragraph is really, I've read it over and over and it, I have, it's, you know, to some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. I don't know how I would do that because this spiritual part is new to me. I don't know what I'm doing. And I can be honest with that. I'm just trying to figure out how, after all these years, when I could fix everything and I knew everything was right and I knew how to do everything, that all of a sudden I'm going to go to these people, tell them where I was wrong, and have faith in a higher power, a God of my understanding that I don't understand yet. You know, that how am I going to tell them about any spiritual thing on this earth that I don't even understand? I don't get it yet. And I know this is, I hope it's making sense to you because it's not making sense to me, but this is a new way for me to live. I have to believe that when I ask him to remove all my shortcomings, I meant that. Take them all. And I humbly ask to believe in that higher power. There's no more sketching when I go to these people. Like, I can't tell them Mike's way if I really believe in this higher power. So how am I going to say to them, you know, this is I found religion. I don't know what I found. I'm just scared to death. And I'm coming in front of you trying to live a new way. And I'm trying to forgive. I'm trying to forgive myself for a lot of things. And it sounds kind of selfish, but part of that spirituality thing is for me. I got to learn how to live like this too. You know, and I don't know how, there's no way I'm going to present. I'm not going to just walk up to somebody. Guess what? I found religion. I was wrong. We're going to move on. Blah, blah, blah. Let's go. It's not going to work like that. It's going to be a mess. As Lynn said, it's just going to be, it's going to be back to chaotic. So I'm going to go before I go to them. And I'm going to get to that in the next chapter where I mess it up too, but talk to my higher power, get it straight, have as much faith and conviction that I can bring myself and not shove that down their throat. You know, just here I am. Here's my amends. Let's move on. I'm not going to tell you how to be, what to be, what I, you know, let's just do it. And I hope that made sense. Thanks.
All right. The next reading is going to be on page 77. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. It may be he has done us more harm than we have done him. And though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret.
Okay. I tell you what, I have prayed about this, and because I know, you know, one of the things that really comes to mind is that, you know, I grew up in with an alcoholic father, but not only was he an alcoholic, things happened between us when I was growing up that should never happen between fathers and daughters. And so for that, I had huge resentments because I felt like he had ruined my life. And, you know, people used to come up to me and share with me. They used to get my face. They would scare me, actually. They would really scare me. They would get in their face and point at me and they'd go, "You're going to feel so good when you make an amends to your father." And I go, and it would just like put this pit in my stomach. And I was like, what am I going to make amends to my father for? And, you know, thank God that, you know, that I've had one sponsor for my first year of sobriety, which was Eileen, who 12-stepped me into this program. And then I've had another sponsor, Michael, for the last 26 years. And she worked this step with me and she told me, she said, you know, things that, you know, that you were just a child when these things happened and that you do not have a part in it. But what your part in it is that in today's date, in this day, in this moment, as an adult, your part is selfish and self-centered for hanging on to the resentment. And so you have to be free of this resentment. And so she gave me a set of guidelines, and a lot of these guidelines, they're kind of personal. I'm talking about a personal topic, but I know this is one that touches a lot of people in Alcoholics Anonymous. And what she had me do is she had me do things in writing, and she had me do it, and I did it on a weekly basis. I chose Saturday mornings that I did this thing, and I did it with the intention of that if I could make a face-to-face amends with my father, then I would be making a face-to-face amends with my father. But it was not possible. My father was prosecuted by the Commonwealth of Virginia for what he had done to me. So part of his probation was that if he contacted me and harassed me in any way, then he had to do the rest of his time, which was a substantial amount of time. I think it was about 15 years. Anyway, so what happened is that he was not speaking to me. And so there was no way to make an amends to him. So I did all this in writing. And what happened is that I used to just dread on Saturday morning, I'm going to have to do this thing that I always do every single week, put pen to paper. I would write out that third step prayer with my name in it, write out that third step prayer with my dad's name in it. And then I would write out that seventh step prayer with my character defects. And then I would write out things to wish him well. And on some weeks, the only thing that I could find to wish him well is I would wish him that he would find a higher power that could love him and forgive him in the way that he needed to be loved and forgiven. And that I wished, and some weeks I would write and I would just say, I hope you find a higher power that gets you sober so that you can appreciate what I'm living through right now. And so I know that what happened to measure whether or not this worked is not once was I ever tempted to drink over this. And that when my father died, my youngest brother called me up to give me the news. And I didn't realize that he was waiting for what my response was going to be. And I cannot tell you what it was. I can't remember. But he had told me that my dad had died. And then he goes, I was so glad that you said that in the way that you said it, because I want you to come up here and be with us for the funeral. And I said, oh, okay. And then I just remember hanging up the phone and just immediately having to call my sponsor because I was flipping out. And I was like, oh my God, I've been invited to my father's funeral. And at this time, you know, I had very little, my family didn't speak to me for many years into my sobriety. So the fact that I was invited to my father's funeral was a really big deal. But what I did realize is that I had grown spiritually, that I had changed, that my feelings had changed. And I thought to myself, I hope that my father had gotten some sort of peace and some sort of, my feelings had changed substantially because my feelings were not about me. And I didn't know how to not make it about me. And I didn't know how to get out of that victim role. And that's the first time in my entire life that I'd ever felt like I wasn't a victim. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
This next next paragraph is one that my sponsor read to me over and over and over again before I went out to do these, because at this point, my first sponsor, I was still smarter than him and I wasn't listening to what he said. And it says the question of how to approach a man we hated will arise. And I looked him right in the face and I said, I don't hate anybody and nobody hates me. I was a fun drunk. You know, I didn't do anything really wrong to anybody. I was happy. I was excited to be drunk and hang out with people. I've made this list, but I'm not sure anybody on here hates me already. You know, and I'm like, I'm just not buying that. And then he said, it's harder to go to an enemy than these are all my friends. I'm just going, this is going to be a piece of cake. I'm going to these people and we're going to, you know, it's my family and my friends. And this isn't going to be as hard as you think it is. And he's looking at me, hey, man. And you know what he told me? Be careful. Because, you know, if someone dislikes you, you get down face to face, you're naturally going to go on the defense and you got to watch that. So again, I didn't listen to anything he said. And, you know, I said, you know, he goes, well, let's look at your list and let's pick some, let's start. And I said, all right, let's start with the big dog. Let's go ex-wife first. And he goes, you've lost your mind, dude. You don't know what you're doing. Let's get one of these little easy, you know, this over here. Let's get a couple under your belt. Let's say some prayers. And I said, no, man, if I can get this big one out of the way, the rest of these are gonna, this one might be the one who might hate me a little bit. And we're going to get this over with. And he just looked at me. He said, bro, do what you get. So I did what he said. I made a plan to meet her somewhere out in public. I thought, okay, that's going to be smart. And I did what he said. I prayed the whole way there. I prayed that she would forget what time to show up. I prayed that she would, I prayed to God she would forget what place we were going to. I prayed to God that I would get a flat tire. I was praying my heart out. And I got there and there she was. And what happened was it did not go any way. Like, of course, like Mike, I did get on the defensive because once I was, you know, she wanted to talk right away. No. I'm going to talk. I'm going to tell you what I did wrong and we're going to be good. So we got something to eat, blah, blah, blah. And then I go and then she wants to ask questions. And I'm like, what? No. And I'm really nervous now. I'm like, no, you don't. No, blah, 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 blah. And it's all like, and she goes, well, when you were doing this and this and this and this and this and this, I said, well, that's not what we're talking about. I'm just telling you I was wrong and I want to leave now. And I'm freaking out. And I do what I do. And you know what I did? I got up and left, didn't pay, got in the car. I'm driving halfway and I call my sponsor. I go, should I have paid? And he's like, what is, seriously, bro? What's wrong with you? And what I will tell you right now in all of this, what I got out of it, it doesn't say sponsor one time in this paragraph. Listen, that's why they're your sponsor. They've had more experience than me. He had been through eighth and ninth step. Obviously, he'd been sober longer than me. He'd been down this road before. He knew. But you know what else he knew? He knew, hey, hardhead, if you're going to do it, go do it. And he sat there and let me go do it and come back with my tail between my legs going, you were right. You were so right. And you know what? That doesn't matter in AA, because the other time that he did that with my tail between my legs was the night that I went out drinking and he knew. And I knew the next day he was going to kill me. And he welcomed me back and said, welcome back. Let's get busy. You know, that's what we're here for. We're not here to judge. We're not here to any of that. We're here to help each other. One alcoholic helping another. And he did the best he could. He gave me all of his knowledge and all of his everything. Don't do it, buddy. Don't do it. And I did it. So if you're new and that's, listen to your, you have a.
Right. Next be on also page 77. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell them that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault. So feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam. Lynn.
Thanks. Hey, everybody. Lynn again. And, you know, this just rings so true with my oldest brother, Bubba. I just love him so much. And we became really, really close. I had a resentment against my brother, because he is smoking crack and being an alcoholic. And everybody in my family is an alcoholic, by the way, except for my mother. And so he's just, you know, doing what everybody else is doing in the family. But I'm really resentful at him. I just expected more of him, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, we would get together at family functions and he would bring up this thing. And what the thing was, is that I owed him money. And I owed him money from when I was 16 years old. I bought a car from him because he joined the Air Force. And what happened is my middle brother borrowed the car from me and totaled it. So I stopped making payments. You follow my line of thinking? Okay. All right. You follow my thinking on this. Okay. So even though I still owed a balance, I no longer had a car, so I stopped making payments. And he used to bring it up at family functions and make a big joke out of it. And I would get really pissed off. And then I would get even more resentful about the fact that he was smoking crack and being an alcoholic. And so what happened is I was sharing this at the depot meeting over here in Ghent when we were having a step 8 meeting. And I was sharing it, and there was like people that knew me really well for years. They were like coughing into their hand, bullshit, you know, and they were giving me this feedback, like, you know, you should have paid your brother back. And I go, I don't know, I still haven't done it yet. And I'm like, but this time I'm 7 years sober. So I go home and I promptly call my sponsor. She answers and we have this conversation. She goes, I thought you made that amends years ago. And I go, no, I never paid him back. I said, he smokes crack, Michael. You know, if I give him money, he's just going to go buy crack, you know, and that was my whole thing. Is that, you know, I'm just, you know, I don't want to be responsible for his death, you know, that kind of thing. I'm being considerate. And that's pretty much my sponsor's response too. She just started laughing. She said, God, you crack me up. So anyway, then she explained to me what I needed to do. And she said, you know, you need to do it as soon as possible. And I go, well, you know, okay. And so he had moved to the western part of the state. So I put it in the mail and he got it. And he called me up and he said, Lynn, I got your check. You really don't have to pay me back. He said, but call me back really quick because I can go and cash it today. And I'm like thinking, so when I got this message, this is all pre-cell phone time and all this kind of stuff too. And so I got the message, called him back, and I said, absolutely, I owe you that money. And I'm really embarrassed that it's taken me this long to get it to you. And he said, wow. And just like it describes me here, all of those years of us really not having very much communication with each other, it was just like, you know, he was my Bubba again, and I was this little sister, and you know, like that kind of camaraderie, it was immediate, you know. And so it was, you know, so I paid him back. And then what happens is that this is the best, is what happens is 2 weeks later. So now we're having conversations. 2 weeks later, we end up in the same city out in Chesapeake at my other brother's house. We're sitting in rocking chairs on the front porch. And he goes, I know what you're up to. And I go, what? He goes, you're doing step 9. And I go, yeah, how did you know that? He goes, well, you know, I've been to TPI a couple of times. And I went, oh, okay. So anyway, so I was just like, yeah, you're right. That's exactly what I'm doing. He goes, how's it? And it hadn't even occurred to me then, until then, that I realized that it felt pretty good that I had paid him back. And But it was in that moment that I realized that I no longer had any resentments towards my brother. So, you know, this is so spiritual. Like, this is a one size fits all. No matter what the resentments are in your life, I'm resentful of my brother for smoking crack. And here it is. I pay him back for the car that I bought from him when I was 16. And immediately my resentment is taken away. I no longer, and it's been, and it's replaced with this overwhelming love and compassion. And I, and we had the best relationship. As a matter of fact, the day he had died, we had talked to each other every day for the last year. You know, I mean, we just got to the point where it's just a habit of just talking to each other all the time, but we just loved each other's company. But the thing is that I shared it with my sponsor. My sponsor told me, she goes, you know what, Lynn, you may be the only copy of the big book that he ever read. And that one just gives me goosebumps. I just still here today. I just, that's my very, very favorite. Thanks.
This one, in 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Well, I couldn't, when I was doing this the first time, I was still in the business of predicting what was going to happen. And I knew best, and I knew how these things were going to go. So I was going to Nag's Head for a week with my family. My mom and dad were going. My brother, one of my brothers, his whole family was going. My whole family, all of our kids were going. And I called my sponsor and I said, look, I've got this plan. I'm going to make amends to my mom and dad and my brother while I'm down there. And it's going to suck. You know, I said, I'm going to get down there and my mom is going to blubber cry, get all emotional. It's going to just be a mess. My dad's going to question me and yell at me. My brother is going to, because he was the one, my brother knew. He told me, he goes, I knew, you know, I had already, he goes, you had the willpower a long time ago. You just didn't do it. And I just wanted to hit him and say, if I'd had the willpower, don't you think I would have stopped? Instead of just carrying on this. So I'm like, they're going to say this, and this is going to be this, and this, and this, and this. And my sponsor goes, well, why don't you not go? I go, what are you talking about? It's family vacation. I got to go. He goes, you've already had your vacation in your head. You've made your mind up of every single thing that's going to happen. Why are you going? I go, I just told you, I've got to make these amends. And he goes, well, you already know it's going to happen, man. You're still that guy. You know, do you really have faith? You've turned your will and your life over to this, but you're going to tell me you already know magic, dude. Don't go. Just at the end of the week. Just, and you know, I prayed and I went down there and my mom did not blubber once. She sure sat me down and asked me a bunch of questions. It was the flip. My dad cried like a baby and just hugged me and we were done. And my brother just goes, you know how brothers do. You done drinking, man? And I go, I think so for now. And he goes, cool. And it was a beautiful week because I didn't do anything. I just let it all happen. I didn't say, hey, mom, we're going to make amends at 4 o'clock today. You need to be there. My mom was sitting on the porch swing and I went, hey, mom, you got a minute? And we just did it. And I realized, and then when we were done, I stood up. She goes, oh, no, sit there. We got some talking to do, my friend. But it was awesome. I hadn't talked to my mom like that in years. You know, I didn't say, dad, again, mom will be done at 5. I'll meet you at 5. We're going to, you know, it just happened that me and him were hanging out and he hugged and starts crying. I'm like, what is, and it's just the math of all of this, the unexpected happened. And I don't know what I had a plan of what the expected, all wrong, all of it, because I didn't put the faith. I went back to Mike's, and when Mike's in charge, when I was drinking, it was a mess. And when Mike's in charge, when he's sober, still to this day in my house, when I say Mike more than I say higher power, other people, it's a mess. It just naturally is. Not a drink, not a drop. So if you're new and you've turned your will and your life over to the care of God, as you understand him, have faith in that, believe in that, trust that, and then go do these things and you watch the unexpected happens. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read these last two and then each of y'all get like 2 to 3 minutes each. Sound good? All right. Sweet. First reading is going to be on page 78. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal, we can let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. And then the last one for tonight will be on page 79. Although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding. Reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience, we ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything.
Okay. On the financial amends, for some reason or other, it was easier for me to go ahead and make financial amends than it was anything else. It was hard for me to take responsibility is what it was. And it took me many years to in sobriety for me to be able to take responsibility for anything. But I could take responsibility for my debts. And I didn't have any problem with that. And my sponsor was a real stickler with it. So I ended up getting a second job. And the reason that I did a second job is because all of my earnings from my second job went directly to paying my amend. And some of my amends, I had to set up payment plans where I could only afford to pay $25 a month or $50 a month or even 15. It didn't matter. My sponsor had me, one of the most outrageous things that she did was she had me make an amends to my drug dealer because I had stolen from my drug dealer, and she did not have me make a direct amends to him. But what she did have me do is she had me total up how much money I had stolen from him, because I stole it from him more than once. And she had me total it up. And then she had me pay it out to something similar to what an Oxford house is here down in Savannah. So I just did those, and I did those payments, and I did those kinds of things. But it's about being willing to go to any length. And what happens is that you do change. You may not think you're changing, but you do change. You put your head on the pillow at the end of the day and you feel differently. Thanks for letting me share.
Man, this thing about money. When I got sober, I did not have very many husband of the year trophies or son of the year trophies laying around, but I was the proudest of my life saying I never stole a dime when I was drunk. Man, that was pride just rolling. And some of you know I teach school, and I was done with my amends and everything. And right in the middle one day of teaching, I broke out in a sweat. I started shaking, and I called my sponsor. I ran down to the teachers. Dude, I stole a ton of money from a charity. I mean, I'm talking felony amount of money. And it had just, seriously, I had a year and a half, 2 years sober, not even thought of this. And he goes, "Where are you?" I'm in school. I'm crying. I'm freaking. He goes, "You got to stop, bro. Stop right now. We're going to get this straight. Shut up. You know, just calm down." So we met later and we went over it and we did just what, you know, and I did. I could have went to jail, big jail, you know, and it just slipped, you know, I didn't even think of it. And we did what, you know, we made a payment plan. And it says on here, you know, you may lose your position or reputation or face jail. And we talked about that a lot, because I would have. And instead of me doing that, we made a payment plan. I sent one letter to the place explaining without my name on it. I'll tell you the truth, you know, because I didn't want to go to jail. I'm going to tell you that honestly. But I said, this is what I did, and this money's going to come monthly. Here it comes, because I had to. I stole it and I couldn't believe it. But right. And then I'll end with this right here at the bottom. It says, and if you're new, and I'll go back to it because it's circled again, we are willing.
all you have to be, just willing. Have to be perfect. The best part of this is nothing has to be perfect. Just be willing to do this, to do the steps, to go to meeting, you know, all the thing, you know, turn your will on in your life over to the care of a higher power. All just be willing, just try. Because, man, my life since I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous has flipped 180, and it's circled 3-4 times in here. That one word, willing. Just be willing. Thanks.
Thank you both. All right, let's thank our panel. All right. Very fast hour. All right. We are.
My name is David.
Hey, David.
Grateful to be here. Grateful to be sober tonight. November 5th. You can remember it because it's the 5th. November 5th in this room. You can remember that too because it's this one. Norfolk District 14 is hosting the Gratitude Breakfast.
Oh.
Yeah. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
And Norfolk District 14 is, that's us. We're cooking. So we'll be back there cooking. The good news about that is that we got plenty of people who are already down for cooking. So we don't even need anything other than you consider showing up here on November 5th, 9 a.m., I think. The details are on tidewaterintergroup.org. So what happens is we're going to feed everybody, don't cost nothing. And then somebody from each district, Norfolk, Western Tidewater, Chesapeake, Virginia Beach, they'll come and tell their story for like 20 minutes. It'll be fun. This room will be packed.
I have an idea.
Come out.
Go for it.
Okay. Mid-Atlantic Group this week is having Melissa H., who used to live in this area. She's going to be speaking this Sunday. And then also on November 27th, we have Polly Pistol, who's going to be sharing at the Mid-Atlantic Group.
And y'all are still Zoom, right?
Yep.
Awesome. Sweet. Thank you. Right. If there's no more announcements, Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our group, our home group, or are in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Will all home group members please raise your hands? Sweet. Thank y'all. Literature is available over there. It says hand sanitizing station. The actual hand sanitizing station is around the corner. That is books. Please see a home group member if you are interested in any literature. If you can fold it, it's free. Sponsorship questions. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. And if you're shy, you can always send an email to info@simpleactions.net. That was mainly aimed for. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Plaza del Sol, which is on 22nd and Colonial. If you cross the tracks, you have gone too far. It's right there on the right, backing up to the train tracks. Closing, let's thank the panel again. All right. After the Lord's Prayer, everybody will.
Our book is in house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you very much. And we can close it out with the Lord's Prayer. If you guys want to, we are standing and holding hands if you want now. The actual hand sanitizer is right around the corner for afterward.
I'll think we can get it all the way around.
We'll get it one day. Everybody get a little bit closer. Almost there.
Adapt.
Right. With a moment of silence followed by our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For
for thine is the kingdom, thy will be glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.